In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm glad I'm not preaching the gospel today because I don't think I could do any better than that. I may be biased. So, in God's grace, He directed me to this Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. And it helps if you have a little backstory, at least the perspective of some scholars, is Paul and his team had been, obviously, to this church and had built this church, working with the Thessalonians. But they didn't feel like they had completed their work there and they had to move on. So they felt like they had left before perhaps they were grounded in the gospel. And this letter is being written after their time of leaving there and reflecting back. They were concerned that they hadn't empowered the church well enough to do the work. But if we move down to verses 8 through 10, Paul is recognizing they were wrong. It says, "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming." Now, this church had faced some other struggles along the way, and they perhaps some persecution, and certainly they were being belittled. They were changing who they were. They were changing from their idols to this one true God, to this risen Lord Jesus Christ as a point of their worship and understanding of their entire life. And they had done it in such a way everyone had noticed. Everyone had noticed. And as I see myself as the perceived spiritual leader of a portion of God's church, his words in this letter resonated with me this week. We are not facing persecution, not to any real level. Every now and then somebody might think there's something wrong with you because you believe in this invisible God. But that's pretty much the extent of it. I mean, even in this day and age, very, very few people think that I'm a complete fool because of what I do, not just in general. Most people, at the very least, can respect the fact that my commitment to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ means this is everything I do all day, every day. Now, many of you do the same. You just don't look as obvious about it because you don't dress up in black and wear a white collar, which probably makes it doing the work a slightly easier, I would suspect. But these words resonated with me. We are facing a unique time. We are facing a time when, as the church, we have to become aware of things that we were never aware of. We have to pay very close attention to how we move when we're together, and we have to pay very close attention to the fact that we aren't together in the same way that we're used to being. And on top of that, we have to now wonder about those around us, not just in our faith community, but those that we live with in our greater community. And we have to ask ourselves, how will we be in the midst of all of this? And I have to tell you, after 7 months of this, I'm tired of it. And I know you are too. We kept planning things week to week. And then we'd plan and we'd cancel. We'd plan on and we'd cancel. Then we went every 2 weeks. And we'd plan and we'd cancel. And we'd plan and we'd cancel. And they said, well, let's see what happens next. And now we're just in this phase of understanding that this is kind of the way our life is. I think about it, and I think how my grandchildren will think about it. And my great-grandchildren. And they'll look back and go, that must have been an interesting time. to do life in general. So we make notes. So somebody may look at them one day and say, well, what did the church do when the church was isolated from one another? And I can tell you the first thing I did when I realized this wasn't going to end in a month is I began to tell God, this is not what I signed on for. I don't know how to do ministry in this situation. I barely understood what I was doing before. And now you're asking me to do ministry in this situation, and I'm really not into it, honestly. It makes no sense to me. All the things that encouraged me and gave me strength, the contact and the interaction with the other people were all the things that really drove me in ministry. And all of those have been taken away. So I said, God, I think maybe we got this wrong. And of course, in my prayers, I'm still here, no panic. This is not my announcement of an early retirement. What happened is this. God said, just because you didn't know doesn't mean I didn't. That's not just for me, brothers and sisters. That is for all of us. That is for his church. We may have thought to ourselves, well, I used to like doing ministry before the pandemic, but doing ministry in the midst of the pandemic is really not my thing. Well, guess what? If it wasn't your thing, you wouldn't have been called to minister in this time. If you believe that you serve a God that knows all things, guess what this God knew? All things. Up to and including who to call for the work in the midst of a pandemic. And brothers and sisters, that's you. And it's me. We don't have to like it. We don't even have to understand it. And maybe some of people are looking at us as Paul was thinking of the church in Thessalonica and saying, I wonder if they're ready. I wonder about it by myself. Am I ready to do ministry in a time like this? Am I equipped to do it? Well, I'm certainly better equipped for it now, 7 months later, than I was when we started back in March. I have learned things I didn't ever care about, honestly. I mean, I can set this up and I can have us do a live stream service all by myself with the computers and all the software and all the stuff that goes with it. I know how to control the cameras. And you know what? I never wanted to know. I mean, let's be honest, I never really wanted them at all. But here they are. And here we are. And what a wonderful time to reflect on what's going on. We, the church, have been called to serve God and his people in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. I don't know what that does for you, but all the hair on the back of my neck just stood up. This is not just some nice thing that God has asked us to do. He has asked us to be his church to a world that is visibly in pain and visibly struggling in a time that none of us have ever experienced before. And he's saying, I called you. If it wasn't true, you wouldn't be here. And I wondered, would the church know what to do? And you know what I've discovered? In the midst of this pandemic, not only has our faith community of Holy Innocents remained faithful, but we have grown. I hear it in the conversations that I have with you one-on-one, the experiences that you are having in the way in which God is working with you and working through you. We can see it every time we open our email, every single time we see what's happening within the church, and we can see it in the way in which God continues to bless and grow the ministries we have that serve the world. Amen. We can see it. And he keeps changing it up in ways that we didn't expect. So those who are online that have never stepped foot in here have a unique experience this morning. Do you all know what it is? What's different about the picture today? Now, we're used to seeing these quilts, aren't we? So now the people who've been online are thinking, what are they doing? What is this about? Well, brothers and sisters, what this is about is God's grace and the way in which he has taken the things in which he's called us to do and blended them together. We started a feeding ministry just before this pandemic. Great planning. Turns out it was. You know why? Because people need food. More people than we thought were going to need food. In the midst of that, we were able to expand to use that same feeding ministry to reach out to the people we were already reaching out to through Meals on Wheels. And they get more meals than they're used to getting, amen? They're getting more help than they were getting before, which wasn't really enough, was it? God keeps pushing it together. So then the normal recipients of our quilt ministry are saying, we're not so sure. But one of the primary recipients of our feeding ministry says, please bring them to us. Amen? So here they are on their way to San Jose Mission, one of our target places for the feeding ministry. Some will go to Family Promise, as they always have. So it'd be normal to have the Family Promise quilts up here. And they're the ones with the names on them because we know specifically who they're going to. And I want you to pray over them. You can't, normally we would come up and we would touch them and we'd receive the body and blood of Christ right over the top of them and we would pray God's blessing as we knelt before them. We can't do that because of the pandemic, but you know what? God doesn't need us to be that close. That's for us to have a connection. He can connect just fine. As you pray sitting where you are and as you walk past this morning, continue your prayers over these quilts because the majority of them are going to a group of people we don't even know. But you know who knows? God knows. The beauty of what God is doing here is astounding. The way in which he is taking the work of holy innocence, where we had this work and this work and this work, and all of a sudden, all of it is becoming the work of holy innocence, connected and tied together. Many of the people that we feed when we're at San Jose have children that go to a local elementary school. Guess which one? Dover. Oh my. Isn't it amazing how God moves? Could any of us predict this? No. How did we get here? We got here because we just kept moving. Even when we didn't know what we were doing, we did it anyway. And we're going to continue to work like that because when we do, this is what happens. Amen? God is so good and the way he pulls us together. So as I remembered all of these things and saw them crashing together beautifully, and I was reading this letter that Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, I thought of you as your pastor. And I thought, these are good words. They're for you. From Paul, inspired by God. And from me, your grateful pastor. I always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in my prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For I know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. He has chosen you. And the beauty of it is, and you became imitators of the Lord. For in spite of a pandemic, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you have become an example to all believers. The church. If you're wondering what it looks like, if you want to know what a true Spirit-filled church looks like, you'll never see it in the building. You see it outside. Thanks be to God for all that he's doing through you. And may it all be to his glory. Amen.